anticlimactic, and I'm going to give you the definition of fun, being the guy who gets to speak at 11:25. Fun. Choir, awesome. Awesome job. Let's... And I will tell you, I know that the choir would agree with me. Great job, but all the glory and the praise and the honor goes to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. When we hear beautiful music, we are moved by it. Recently, I had the privilege, Kim and I had the privilege of attending a performance of Handel's Messiah. And we got to hear that hallelujah chorus. Everyone stood. And I leaned over to Kim and I said, "This really annoys me because music is making me feel something right now." I was really moved by it. But what was it that moved me? Well, I was swept away by the majesty of the music. But more than that, I couldn't help but think about the fact as I was looking at that choir that one day we would be singing in the very presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, praises to his name. And that just got me. And when I look and I saw our choir this morning, every tongue, tribe, and nation is represented in the sense in this room and on the stage. This is what heaven will look like. Praise the Lord. Praise is the natural reaction of a grateful heart towards God. And as we celebrate this Christmas season that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, we cannot think but be stirred by a song in our hearts and praise on our lips. Got me thinking about Mary, the one through whom God chose Jesus to be born into this world. Mary praises God when she learns that she will be the mother of Jesus because the Holy Spirit has caused her to become pregnant. And this is a supernatural miracle and a hope for all the nations that Jesus Christ would come. So I want to share with you briefly from Luke chapter 1 a portion of text that is known as Mary's Song. And I thought it would be appropriate on a day when our choir ministered to through us through song. And so my prayer is that today we will all have a reason to praise God as Mary did. And if you don't know that you can praise God, I want to give you that reason today. So let's pray and read a little bit of scripture. Heavenly Father, please help us just to understand your word, to celebrate and rejoice the reality that Christ came into this world to save sinners, and may we know Christ, may we understand your word, and may praise fall continuously from our lips and our heart. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Luke chapter 1, verse 45, it says, "And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken from the Lord. And Mary said, 'My soul magnifies the Lord, and the spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed, for he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name, and his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts, and he has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and to his offspring forever." Now, Mary has been told by the angel Gabriel that she would conceive and bear a son, and the child would be named Jesus. Jesus is God. His being born into this world was not his creation, but rather him taking on human flesh and by supernatural means. Jesus has always existed. We call this his incarnation into the world. Mary is visiting her cousin Elizabeth, and this is what it says in Luke 1:45. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord. And the question that matters when we look at this passage is, what does Mary believe? Christmas is about the birth of Jesus Christ, who came into the world to save sinners through his life, his death, and his resurrection. Mary has been told that the one who was promised from long ago, a Savior, was to be born. And how? God would use Mary to accomplish this amazing thing. And so, is it any wonder that Mary praises God? Mary believes that God has done great work through her. She says, her soul magnifies the Lord. And this, is, in the Greek, carries the idea of continuously enlarging. And so her praise is continuing to grow, continuously rising up unto the Lord of how great he is. She is blown away. And why does Mary praise God? Well, because of who he is, because he is her Savior. Now, sometimes we make God too small. I think a choir helps us remember all too well the majesty and the glory of God. Because when you hear those songs, you get a sense of his majesty. It's true that we have a personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ, but he's still the mighty creator of the universe, who has made the stars, the planets, who has given us life, and sustains everything by his mighty power. And he sits on his throne in heaven. So why would God need to do anything through Mary? And the answer is, he didn't. But he chose to. He chose to. And so Mary has this privilege of God working through her. A nobody in the eyes of the world. A humble servant. That's to say, a person of lowly estate. God will bring the Savior of the world through her. Not because she was perfect, not because she was sinless, but because a mighty God can do amazing things. And he uses very ordinary people like us to accomplish his amazing things. And Mary never wanted anyone to worship her, by the way. She says, all the generations will call her blessed. And she never says, because I'm awesome. She just says, because of what God has done for me. She was ordinary, but it was a mighty God who worked through her, the holy God of the universe, majestic and mighty, supremely God, perfect, kind, benevolent, and merciful, has done great things for Mary by allowing her to be part of his redemptive plan. No wonder she called his name holy. But secondly, Mary does not simply believe that God has done great things for her. She believes that God's mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. Now, we will never, ever experience what Mary experienced in the sense of she had a unique position of being the mother of Jesus. But that doesn't make us any less blessed. See, God continues to work in every generation. And that means from ancient times to today to the future, that the King of Heaven chooses to show his mercy to each generation and accomplish mighty things through ordinary people. God doesn't have to use any of us, but he chooses to do so. This fact should fill our hearts with praise. Now, what exactly does it mean that he shows his mercy to those who fear him? Now, it doesn't mean that those who are terrified of God will find his mercy. God doesn't look at us like we're in some kind of giant aquarium. You know, when you tap the glass and fish scatter? That's not what this is talking about. It's not that kind of fear. What this is a sense of reverence and awe, a holy fear. That is to say, a proper understanding that God deserves our respect, our worship, our praise, our total submission to him, to give him glory with our lives, because he's the rightful king and ruler supreme. Many people simply don't even think about the fact that their life is meant to be lived for God's glory. And yet, God created us. We're meant to have a relationship with Him. Sadly, humanity fell into sin in the Garden of Eden. Sin is passed from every generation to every generation. We all disobey God. Romans 5:12 says, just as sin came into the world through one man, death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. And the Bible makes it clear, look, Jesus didn't come into the world just to give us the warm fuzzies at Christmas. Jesus came into the world to deal with our sin problem. Matthew chapter 1, verse 21 says, she will bear a son, and you will call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So if we put those two things together, we realize that Mary's praise for God's mercy for those that fear him means that sinners who come before a holy God and humbly confess their sin, that is showing true fear, true awe and reverence to a holy God. Because they're going to come to God. Now, see, God doesn't leave sin unpunished. But if we come to God and we trust in him, what we're trusting in is that Jesus came to earth, that he came 2,000 years ago, that he lived a perfect, sinless life, the one that we can't live. And then instead of us being punished for our sin, he willingly laid down his life by dying on a cross, taking the punishment that should be ours. And that his shed blood covers over our sin. It was the price that had to be paid for forgiveness. And that's what it means to fear God, is to know that he is worthy of that worship and worthy of giving him our life and worthy of living for him. You cannot pridefully say, I don't need God, I'm fine on my own. I will get to heaven by my own strength. You can't rely on your own good works to save you. You can't make it right with God. Because the Bible says that without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sins. And our own won't cut it. It had to be Jesus's. It's incredibly humbling to come to God and admit you need him. And it's arrogant to say you don't. God scatters the proud, Mary says, brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalts the humble instead, filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. There's a spiritual meaning to that beyond the material at reality. The truly humble, whether they are rich or poor financially, are the ones who find mercy because they need God. Jesus himself says it this way in Matthew 5:3. Blessed are the poor. Now everybody hears blessed are the poor, but the whole thing is, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And to be poor in spirit is not financially poor, but to recognize that without God, you are lost in your sin, and you admit that you need him. That's what it means to be needy. And that need is to ask God to forgive your sins and trust in Christ to save you. Jesus also says in Matthew 5, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. And again, the rich are those who keep their bellies full of worldly things. They don't need God. They aren't hungry for righteousness. It's not a financial thing. But those who come humbly to God and seek his mercy will have every reason to praise God like Mary does. And so finally, Mary believes that God keeps his promises to his people. In the first book of the Bible, we learn that God has promised Abraham a wonderful blessing. In Genesis 12:3, he says, I will bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Now God did make himself first known to the nation of Israel and did mighty deeds through them. But in the New Testament, when Jesus came, his primary means of operating is now the church to fulfill all the nations of the earth would be blessed. Exactly what he promised in Genesis. Every tongue, tribe, and nation, not just Israel. And so God kept his promise. Jesus came through Israel. But now it was known that the promise had come, that Jesus had come, that all who feared him, all who believed in him, can trust God and his promises. Jesus promised to save sinners. How did he promise he would save sinners? He says, I'll die, and then I'll rise again. And he did on the third day. keeping his promise. And now he's promised one other thing. He's promised that he will come back. In Acts 1:11, it says, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven." He's coming back for us. And when Jesus returns, he will take all believers with him to be with him in heaven forever. Revelation chapter 7 says it this way, "I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all the tribes, peoples, and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, 'Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb.'" So very simply, how about you? Are you able to praise God today? Are you able to praise God because you know that you will be there because you know Jesus Christ? Whoever trusts in Jesus has every reason to praise his name. If you know him, let your heart be full of praise for his mighty works. Does your life reflect that? Is it a life of gratitude, overflowing with praise for God? He didn't have to choose to work in your life, but he did. Let your life reflect what God has done. And if you don't know him, today is the day. Come, know Jesus. We'd love to talk to you about this, but all you really need to do is turn from your sin, to confess your sin, and believe that Jesus died and rose again for you. He came to this earth in meekness and in majesty. And all the praise and glory goes to his name. Our souls magnify the Lord indeed. And so, as I got thinking about this, we want to give all the praise to God. I'm going to ask you to stand. And as a closing reflection of this message, we're going to read Psalm 8 together. Let's read this together. "O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babies and infants, you have established strength because of your foes, to still the enemy and the avenger. When I look at the heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you care for him? Yet you have made him a little lower than the heavenly beings, and crowned him with glory and honor. You have given him dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, and also the beasts of the field, the birds of the heavens, and the fish of the sea, whatever passes along the paths of the sea. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth." Remain standing for the worship team, please.